Welcome back to Shifting the Gears. I'm Kiyoshin Sako, and today I've got Bryce Keating. What's up, Bryce? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. How are you?
Not bad, not bad. I like the hoodie. I just noticed
Thanks.
that. I like the hoodie. It's very
It's a gentleman
colorful.
hoodie.
Oh, it's Gingerman?
It's got the whole layout on the
I like that, dude. I love that track, dude. It's been a couple
back.
years
It's
since I've
a
been up, but you go to Last Grid Life?
good track. I've been to every one of them.
I wanted to go,
Except
but
first two. I missed the first two, and that was it.
was it? I think I went the first year they had, first or second year.
Yeah.
They had drifting, like when they had Falcon and all that. I think they had, yeah, I think that's the first year. I think first or second year. It's been a while, man. I had the Legacy, Black Legacy back then, so that tells you how long ago it's been.
Yeah.
But dude, so let's go. Let's let everybody know how me and you met each other.
You and me met probably either right around when I got my license or like maybe a little bit before.
I said
Like,
what, 13, 2013 or something like that.
yeah, 20. Yeah, it had to be like 2013, 2014,
What
somewhere
car
in
did I
there.
have back then?
You had.
Because Trace had just gotten driving. Ross and you didn't drive yet when I first
Yeah.
met you guys.
Because me and Ross still had to put the motor in his Corolla.
God, man, that's a while ago.
Yeah, that was Ross's first car. And then I think I had gotten my first car right around then. I had my Toyota Echo, my little 80 horsepower Toyota Echo that
That
I.
you drove the living tar out of, dude.
Oh yeah, I would
But that
try
thing
to
got you
my for
everywhere.
whatever reason I my goal was to hit 100 miles an hour in that car at least once a day. I have no idea why. It was my car. I bought it with my money. Like, I paid the insurance. I paid the everything on it. So
Was
I
that
did
the one with
whatever.
the design on the side?
No. Somebody else had one with the design on the side. Mine
Okay.
was just boring silver. But I
Fair
like
enough.
tinted taillights, and I think I painted the wheels white. It was bad. It was real bad.
I
I mean, it
mean,
was a
that's.
first. It was a first. It was everyone's first cars like that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I definitely remember painting some trim blue on my first car. White.
Yeah,
Not
I
even
painted the
cool
inside
blue.
the bezel for all the gauges. I painted that white. I painted a bunch of other random anything that came off easily in there. I painted white
I don't know
for
what
no reason.
to, just to do it, right?
Pretty much. Just to modify the car.
I mean, we were broke high school kids and stuff back then, like,
Yeah.
why not, dude? So shoot, from the Echo, what next few cars did you have, like, quick succession, but what'd you have next?
So I would say, so in between the Echo and my first, what I call my first cool car, it was my 2001 IS300. In between those, my best friend at the time, Ross, he had gotten his first 240, and we were messing around with that.
Okay.
Like that was where like the whole like rear wheel drive thing came from. And then I was like, I gotta get some rear wheel drive. So then I got an IS300. But I was at the time I was between an IS300 and an FCRX7, and it was a vert, and it was kind of rusty, and it was kind of beat up, and it ran all right, but it really wasn't a very good car. The IS300 was, it had a lot more miles. It was like 240,000 miles, but it ran great. So I ended up buying that. And I did burnouts everywhere I could in that car. I ended up actually, I beat the piss out of that car so bad that I ended up blowing up the trans, and I drove it around with a blown trans because I couldn't fix it and it would still drive. So I drove it around for like 9 months like that.
Jesus, man.
And then my mom helped me out, and she was like, all right, if you get rid of that car, I'll help you get like a normal car. So then I had like a Mazda CX-7 for almost a year. It was 360 days because I didn't want to let it go a year before I got my next car, which was, guess what? BMW. Another IS300.
Oh, you, that's right. You did get back into one. Yep. I completely forgot about I mixed those two ISs together because the time frame was so close. They just kind of tie together.
Yep. And
I was still jealous of you back then.
That one ended up being, I think at that point, I don't think we were hanging out as much because I was living in Glendale Heights by then. And I had that one for like 2 months, if that, like not even, I think it was like a month. And then I kept getting it stuck in the snow and I got a bunch of snow underneath the dash from getting in and out of like pushing the car and stuff. And I ended up frying some wires underneath. And luckily for me, the guy that sold me the car was like, "Hey, I'll buy it back from you." And I was like, "All right, that's sweet." So he gave me all my money back and the money that I put into registering it, which was like super, super nice of him. He definitely did not have to do that. But like, I didn't know this guy before. Like, he was kind of just like a random dude that I had found. But like, me and him had kind of like, I had put some work into this car before I had bought it. And like, obviously, he put some work into it, but it just didn't work out with me. And so then I got rid of it. And then the day after that, I bought my first manual car. Both ISs were automatic. And that was a 97 Civic. And I used to, like, I babied that thing for, like, the first year I owned it. And then once I got my BMW, anytime I drove that Honda, I just bounced it off limiter at all times. And it was, I bought that Honda at, like 11 o'clock at night on a rainy night in, like it was cold. It was like 50 degrees out. It was just, I shouldn't have been going and looking at a car in Chicago, like downtown Chicago,
at 11
in the middle of the night. And I shouldn't have bought the car, but like, it ended up serving me really, really well. It did have a trans mount made out of like quick sealer, like roofing sealer and duct tape. That's what the shifter was mounted to. Like, that was it.
Did you just say it had a mount made out of duct tape?
It was duct tape and roof sealer. So it was not that thick, but you know, it didn't really make
I've
a difference.
I've done a lot of dumb
like
shit,
that's what
dude,
the shifter was hooked up to. Yeah.
Didn't you fix it like a week or two later or something like that? I remember seeing
you
post something. Dude, you never did?
I never fixed it. I put like 8,000 miles on that car like that.
I swear you told me you're going to, because
I was going to. Oh, there's a bunch of times I was going to. I was going to put like this, like I posted something on Facebook about like, who can weld in a metal plate and blah, blah, blah. And like a bunch of people hit me up, but like for whatever reason, I just didn't do it.
I figure if you knew the people you knew now, or even 3-4 years ago, that car would have been fixed in a six pack of Bush
Light. It would have been fixed the day I found out.
Oh, it would have.
It definitely would have been fixed immediately. But
I feel like go on a whole tangent of just what we would have done different with our cars if we knew now what
we
knew.
Oh my god! Yeah. If I had the knowledge and the connections and especially the money that I have now, back then it would have been totally different.
Oh hell yeah!
But
so when did how many BMWs have you had?
So after the Civic, I got my first BMW. That one was the coupe. It was black and it was automatic. It had 145,000 miles on it when I got it.
That's not bad at all.
No, I got it for $900 out of the.
There you go, Royce. I'm just gonna
out
say
of
this
the
for
ghetto of Aurora. I paid more for the
late
Honda
night purchase
than for the BMW. That's the part that blows my mind. I paid $1,300
no, really.
For Honda, and I paid $900 for the BMW.
That's insane. I gave you a nice little gift, by the way. You'll see it back when I put out the video. I'm definitely gonna get tagged for that one, but it was a nice read between the lines. I thought you bought that one. I didn't realize it was that cheap. You got it for that good of a deal.
Yeah, and then the second one that I got the convertible I bought. So after I got that first car, I was looking for a manual swap. This other dude that I knew, he had what is now my Vert, 190,000 miles with an Indiana title. It was factory black interior, factory manual, and it was pretty much it had a super nice interior. And he thought it was really rusty because it had 190,000 miles and it was from Indiana. So he was like, "Hey, man, I'll sell you this car for like super cheap. I just got another car that I'm getting into. So like, I don't really, I just kind of want some money back for this. I got this thing for cheap, like from a family friend. And, you know," he's like, "how much can you give me for it? Like, I got to get rid of it. The city is going to tow it." Like, there was a big like tow sticker stuck to both windows on each side of the car. That's when I got insane. The car. And he said, well, I told him, I was like, "Dude, I don't really have a lot of money right now. I can give you like $500 right now and then maybe like a little bit more later." And he's like, "All right, well, how about you give me like, what if I can get like 600 right now? We'll just call it done." And I was like, "Sure, okay." And after I sent that, he said, this is like 2 months after, 2 or 3 months after I got my BMW, my black coupe, he goes, "Sure." And then like 5 minutes later, he goes, "On my way." I was like, "What?" He delivered me a car. He delivered me he didn't know that it was, here, I'll get to that in a second. But so as he's delivering it to me, he misses my turn for the street that I live on. He goes up, he goes to back it. He pulls in somebody's driveway and goes to back out of it. As he's backing out of it, the wheel, the hub, like separates. And I have a picture of it that he sent me of the wheel like this, like in the fender, like the fender is like this and the wheel is like sticking out of it, like upwards.
Oh, it was cooked.
It was the fender actually didn't dent anything, which was really, really fortunate. It had some 16s on it with some really fat tires. So like the tire kind of just ate it all. But I ran over there, I jacked it up, I threw the axle nut back. The axle nut wasn't tight. So he drove all the way there going forward, and that was fine. As soon as he backed it up, the axle nut spun off. And the hub was blown, so the wheel separated from the hub. With that could
have been bad, dude.
Yeah, it could have been like really, really, really bad. Like I was afraid to drive it around the corner back to where I lived, let alone fucking, he just drove it like 20 minutes to where I live.
That's so insane.
Gave me the car for $600. And then so before I put the axle nut back on, I give him the $600. He gives me the title. Because his buddy was with him. He's like, "I gotta get going." I was like, "All right, dude, no problem." As I'm jacking the car up to put the axle nut back on after he's already left, I notice, holy cow, the entire car is 100% rust free. Like one, not a single speck of rust. And I mean, I let the car sit outside for a while after that, and it still didn't accumulate any rust. Like it had zero rust in 190,000 miles and lived in Indiana its whole life.
Whoever had that car before you guys took immaculate care of that car, probably.
They took crazy good care of it. They didn't drive it in the winter at all, like not even once. Like that thing is absolutely immaculate. I mean, was, I guess. I cut it all up now, but but so then that's when I got that Vert, and then I stored that. I took the trans out of it and I stored the Vert at my buddy's house for like 10 months as I did all of the stuff with my coupe. And that's when I got into drifting, and that was when I started like really doing everything serious and like just kind of focusing on like progressing as a driver and all that stuff and being able to use absolutely every single inch of a car before I start dumping money into making it less reliable and more powerful.
So let me ask you something real quick, is what really made you fall in love with drifting? Like how, first off, how'd you come across it? and then what made you fall in love with it? I'm gonna steal of what made you fall in love with it. I listened to it one podcast, and that's actually a great question. I never thought of asking it like that. I've always asked what got you into it, not what made you fall in love with it. Because if you fall in love with something, you're gonna continuously do it. And I've seen you go over the probably the last, I'm gonna say at least half decade, last 5 to 6 years, of not just you, but you know the group of people I know with you guys. You've all not just jumped into it, but you've maintained and continuously went and grew and learned and expanded and got to know people and invite people like me who had no idea what the hell drifting was. As far as like stateside, I knew what it was over there, but like stateside, I had no idea. Like, you know, back you when you guys got into it, no, not even close. Like, and you knew me back then of me being very reserved. Of I do quick street pulls, but I always try to be safe, try to be maintained, like try to avoid trouble.
Yeah,
like, but, you know, I had to play the dad of the group, so to speak. Even though I look like I'm 15. But yeah, so how did you discover it and what made you fall in love with it?
So the thing that made me discover it was Ross Butasov. He had his that S13 way back when, before I got my IS300. And we used to do donuts in warehouse, back like the back lots of warehouses. And like that was like, we do donuts and we'd come in like, and do like manjis all the way down it and stuff like that. And he was learning how to drift and I was just always there because I'd always be like, hey, come pick me up, let's go hang out. Like and so that's what we just, that was when we really like discover it. And then what made me fall in love with it was I was at Gingerman Raceway actually, and Dustin Miles put me in the passenger seat of his like 600 or 700 horsepower, or maybe it was less, maybe it was like 550, who knows. It felt like it was 1,000, but it was a 1J S13 coupe that had just like crazy paint.
Is my computer lagging?
Paint, crazy livery.
I'm trying to disconnect a few things from Wi-Fi. Hang on a second. One second, Royce. Trying to get my computer to catch up. Okay. We good? It's
doing better now.
All right, cool. I think it's the whole trying to zoom and get stuff to update on notes, like a whiteboard or whatever at the same time.
Yeah.
It's also the holiday week coming up, so who knows. Anyways, so you got in a Dustin Miles car. It was much faster than you've ever been into up to that point, I'm assuming.
And incredibly faster. Like, I would probably twice the horsepower and more than three times the grip.
So I know you've posted a few videos, but is this the one that you were super hyping the dudes? Like, I think it was him that posted a video. This is why I do what I do, is seeing people's reactions. I saw it and I was like, huh.
Yeah.
I called Ross. I was like,
he posted it like 3 years after.
And he's like,
I have that same video on my phone. You
should repost that as a memory. Like,
yeah.
I haven't seen you post that in a while, but.
Yeah. I might have to. That was a good one. That moment, like, that was when I was like, all right, I love it. That was right before I got my Black E36. That was like, so that was, Grid Life was that summer. And I bought my Black E36 in August or September, couple months right after. Like, immediately then I was like, I need to start saving. I was super broke when I bought that car. Like, I remember I had saved like $100 out of every paycheck, and I got paid every 2 weeks. And then like, I got like $600 together, and then I was like, screw it. And I just spent $300 out of the paycheck that I had at the time. And I was only making like $700 every 2 weeks. Like, and
what year would you say this is, just to give people a timeline? Because obviously it's 2023 now, but
I think this was 2019 Grid Life that I took the ride along. I bought the car in 2019, and then in 2020, the beginning of 2020, was when I did the manual swap. I took the transits from the Vert, and the Vert sat, and then I swapped the,
this was right before COVID then.
Yeah, this was literally leading up to COVID. Okay. And then COVID hit. And I was in the middle of the manual swap in like March, And then I had also lost my grandfather at the time, not completely unexpectedly, but I mean, it could all kind of happen a little faster than I was updated. So for me, it was kind of unexpected. But going through that and then also trying to put together a car that was at the time my daily, because the Civic was broken with something that cost me a bunch of money. But once I ended up fixing it, it was fine. I think I blew up the trans on the Civic. And then when I sold it, the Civic, it was to help finish the BMW. And then I had bought a new trans and everything for it, and I just got rid of the project in general. But then I finished the BMW, middle of COVID. It was kind of like best case scenario, because nobody was on the road. I'm sorry, my cat's going crazy.
No, I'm fine, dude. I got mine scratching the door right now.
She's hollering in the back, running up and down the halls. It was kind of great because it was almost like Need for Speed Most Wanted, like open world. Like there were cops and they would see me street drifting, but like it wasn't important enough for them to risk getting COVID with like interaction. And I knew that, and they knew that I knew that. So like they would just kind of like sit around and watch. I feel like it was almost
at least around here, because I saw a couple guys just slamming corners, but it was like you'd see the guy come up to the corner, go past the block, come back, see the cop, but make sure no traffic's around, and he'd rail the corner or whatever. They we'll call hooning. They were doing whatever they were doing. Mm-hmm. And the cops would just be like, as long as nobody's around you,
as long as you weren't doing it in between, random people drive, just trying to go to work or something like that. Like if there was truly nobody around and you're not endangering anybody but yourself, like, and then even then, like when you're doing donuts and stuff like that, or you're street drifting, like it's not like you're going 70 miles an hour.
Yeah.
You know, well, you're entering at maybe this clear. 40.
This isn't the takeover bullshit. This is not the takeover bullshit. Like,
yeah, this wasn't in a 500 horsepower Hellcat. This isn't a, 180 horsepower 90s BMW, like with a welded diff and a raised rear end, differential ratio. Like it's all about just like control. It's not about, I'm going to throw this car and let off the gas, and then it's going to go halfway around the turn. Then I just got to tap it again and it'll go the other way. Like having to sit on limiter and like hold angle while having stock angle and like almost spinning out while like absolutely pinging the tack. Like that's far more fun than any amount of, just blipping. I call it blip driving. You're just blipping the gas. Like, cause you make so much power. You're just blipping the gas, jumping on the brake, blipping the gas, jumping on the brake. Like,
I do have to say, like, I do miss the traffic of COVID, because I do remember a few times I was going to work and I was definitely not going the speed limit. I was going plus five. I was only doing five over. Like, but the people, like, I had one officer pull up behind me, or like pull up next to me, just flash his lights and just wave his hand. Like, hey, like, cool it. All right, my bad. Like, I didn't realize how fast I was going because I was messing with some other car. But you can tell we're just like empty highway. It's me and another car. We didn't see another car. We'll call it out. I'm on Mexico 88, going somewhere, and just nobody. Officer pulls up next to us, just lights it, waves his hand, and just pulls off. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
People with bikes were going. People with bikes were having the same experience. It was a matter. It was like, it made the most sense. You weren't seeing people dying left and right. They weren't scraping people off the pavement and stuff. Like when they had people who knew what they were doing in motor vehicles only allowed on the road, it worked out a lot better. But that's never gonna happen again.
No. At least not.
It'll never ever happen again. Which was kind of like the cool thing about learning how to drift in that little bubble of a moment. Like I was able to get as much. Like I lived 30 minutes away from where I worked, and it was all through streetlights and lefts and rights and this and back and forth. So like, I got a lot of seat time in just on the way to work. Like,
I wish I would have started learning more about drifting back then, because I like, you know me, I've always focused on like drag, circuit racing, autocross,
yeah,
more aspect. That's what I liked at the time. Like, I didn't, you guys knew
you were more speed guy. It's about going fast and hitting turns and pulling G forces of like, you know, but still like, but still being fully gripped up and like, you know, seeing how fast you can get a car through from here to there.
Yeah. And, you know, I wish I would have paid a little bit more attention and listened to you guys a little bit more back then, but I stuck with what I knew, and it gives me a different venue to hit now that I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's super cool. Like, I think you guys took advantage of it, and those of you guys who, pardon me, I did not expect that to come out. But those of you guys who took advantage of that and used that time to dive in, like, you know, delve into whatever aspect you wanted, whether it's starting a business or drifting or learning how to paint or whatever.
People were out riding dirt bikes. People were out in hot air balloons. People were parachuting around, you know, with the big fan things on their back. People were literally flying through the skies, like just enjoying their life, because
it was
like at that time, like, nobody really knew what was gonna happen. Like,
yeah, I definitely remember. Like, I remember at work, we had to have letters from work for the police.
Yep.
If we got pulled, because they were literally just grabbing you and booking you. They didn't care what it was. If you didn't have a letter, they were. We had a couple people local got booked, and I was like, "Are you serious?"
Wow, but, we had people from our work that got pulled over, but surprisingly, I never got pulled over. Being like an inch off the ground, 12 degrees of front camber. Like,
I think your car's a little needles. Noticeable though. Like,
it was pretty dang noticeable. Like, it wasn't like the loudest exhaust, but like it still had cats on it, but like it had the muffler cut off. Like, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't
terrible.
It wasn't a sleeper, that's for sure. It definitely looked faster than it was.
Absolutely. So obviously, we're probably gonna get half of this talk and have to start another one. But for the listeners, it's gonna be 2 seconds.
Yeah.
So obviously, you got into cars. You've always liked wrenching on cars.
Yep.
I used to love it. After, you know, one of my jobs, I just kind of stopped doing it for a long time. I'm starting to get back into it, but that's not the point. Obviously, you like wrenching on cars and stuff. So you've gone through various cars, various repair scenarios, and then I feel like drifting made you get a little more in depth and engaged on working on your vehicles.
Yeah, definitely.
So how do you make it work with what you have? Because for me personally, this is literally my garage right here. It's a 2-car garage.
Yeah,
I have one car that's torn apart that's going to be apart for the next couple of years until I can afford to actually do it the way I want, because I'm not going to do it half-assed. Like, I want it done the way I want, which people are going to run the mouth at, you know, people that know us, that know how long I've had this car, they're going to want to run the mouth, whatever. Like, but it's going to motivate me. Like, some are going to do it good nature, but whatever. So I've got a couple of toolboxes, some buffers, but I've got general home mechanic, hobbyist stuff. So what do you have, and how do you make it work with what you have? And what do you suggest to somebody that's getting into it or wants to start doing stuff and is afraid to, like, I feel like some people are, I want to work on my own car. I want to do some of my own basic stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get made fun of because the guy down the street's got a machine press and a welder and this and that. Like, but how do you, let's start with how do you make it work with what you have?
So I feel like to kind of like explain how I make work what I have now, I kind of have to like touch on how I used to do it. So when I was first putting together the Black Coupe, I actually didn't have a garage. I worked on everything I that got done to that car got done on the curb outside, like not even in the driveway. I had driveway privileges for a little bit, and I would have like maybe I could stay in the driveway for if I had to work on something, like, you know, that was only going to take a couple hours. Like, I could do that. But for the most part, like, almost everything got done on the street. The only thing that I really had a shop for was when I did the manual swap. But even then, it was my buddy's shed that had been turned into a two-story barn. And there was one single electrical outlet. And it was the middle of, it was February into March that I ended up, that I was using it. So, like, I really,
it was not
kind of, I never really started with any kind of, like, advantage, you know? I mean, I have a little bit of, like, train, like, I went to a little bit of schooling for mechanics, but nothing at all like what I have, I feel like what I've accomplished, especially at that time. But so I kind of moved from there. Then eventually I did end up getting in to a two-car garage. I was only able to use one half of it because at the time I was living with my mom and she was using the other half for her nice new Jeep that she leased.
This is when you got T-Ruck.
Yeah, this was right around when I got T-Ruck. Yep.
Sorry, I saw you post something earlier and I was like, T-Ruck! There's a guy down the street that's got the same one down the street that you do.
Yeah.
Sorry, but go ahead, man.
So then I finally had a garage. I only had one half of it, but like there was a lot of times I was able to talk my mom into letting me borrow the other half for like, I'd say, oh, I'll have it done by tomorrow. Just, you know, say one night. And then it would turn into like a week or sometimes longer, but like, and she was always really, really supportive of that. Cause she was just happy that I was doing something that I like, I genuinely enjoyed and like was actually passionate about something. And like, just kind of just actually like accomplishing things, I guess, whether it really mattered or not, you know, it was just a matter of, well, he ain't gonna stop. Like, he's gonna get it done no matter what. Like, I might as well help him out when I can.
I mean, and she definitely so she was, supported I owe a lot from what I saw.
Yeah, she definitely, I wouldn't say she supported me, like, especially financially, but
emotionally. She saw what you were doing.
She supported me with whatever she could. She supported me. She did whatever. She never, if I asked if I could essentially inconvenience her in order to try to help progress what I was trying to accomplish, she was usually pretty willing to do that. And I mean, that's a huge, huge thing. That's, I owe a lot to her for that.
Yeah, that's more the aspect I was going, like, not financially support you, but like, she saw you going in a direction that you cared for and you were passionate about and was like, I'm going to help you with whatever way I can do it, whether it's letting you have the garage or making sure you had food or whatever, like, or you need a storage rack, let's build you a storage place to put parts, like,
whatever. Like, I was still paying rent and everything like that, but I mean, I had a bunch of, I had an insane amount of parts in the basement. I had pretty much two halves of an E36 down there and just in pieces. And I had even more stuff in the garage and a whole nother car. And that was all really, really helpful. But as far as what I have right now,